Blog Talk Radio.
By Lou Gramm and Mick Jones, and it was released as the third single on Foreigner's second album, Double Vision, one of my favorite albums ever. It reached number 15 on the Hot 100, the band's sixth top 40 single in 2 years, and number 45 in the UK, backed with the Mick Jones song, I Have Waited So Long. Blue Morning, Blue Day is also available as a download content for the Rock Band series and was released on clear blue vinyl. Gramm said that the song talks about young musicians that's burning the candle at both ends. He has a lot on his mind and he walks the streets at night. Classic rock critic Malcolm Dome described the theme as a tale of a musician who caught in a metal trap of his own making and is desperate to break out of his misery. Blue is used as a metaphor for misery. It was a dark horse track on the mood, and the mood of it was dark. But the story of the song was so cool that it ended up being the third single from the album. Billboard praised the tasty guitar work, punchy arrangement, and strong vocals. Cashbox said that the majestic guitar lines, piano insistence, and slapping drum beat, as well as the rising guitar solo and solo lead and backing vocals. Record World said that Lou Gramm's vocals are penetrating, and the Pittsburgh Press critic Peter Bishop called Blue Morning, Blue Day as representing what's good about Foreigner by blending hearty rock, strong melody, and arty touches. And again, one of my favorite albums out there. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by AP Taylor, and we hang out at the group A Team of Voices over at allpoetry.com, one of the largest places to write poetry on the internet. It's free to join, and if you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab, again, A Team of Voices. And I will meet you at the door and tell you what's going on and welcome you in. We do different shows each night with different hosts and hostesses, each with their own sets of rules and their own prompts. You can find information on each prompt for each night on the chat wall of A Team of Voices, just above the chat wall. Each show topic starts with the show date. Easy peasy. Then just click on it. You can find the prompt there. You can find what the host or hostess expects of you, and you can join in with us. We share the links to the poems that you hear on the shows on that chat wall so that the participants can read along and comment. We also welcome you to participate by putting an All Poetry poem link on that topic board. And you can call and hang out with us at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And A Team of Voices has four board members, myself, AP Teller, Jay Hatter, and Sweet Pea, and any one of us can give you information if you need it. And on that note, we have a topic tonight, and I put out 45 really cool shots, everything from the Cookie Monster to tiaras to scenery and everything in between. And the poets picked their photo and then wrote what that photo inspired, which is the theme of Monday nights. You get a choice of a personal prompt and you run with it. And we get an amazing variety by some really incredible poets. Speaking of those incredible poets, I'm here with my big brother, one of the board members, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Hey, be a jukebox hero. Stars in his eyes. New Graham, Foreigner. I saw them. Hello?
I said, did you really? How cool is that?
Yeah, I think I saw him with Steve Miller Band, I think it was.
Oh, wow. That must have been an amazing concert.
It was. Blew me away. Warner was great.
So, speaking of board members, we have another board member here, Mrs. Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet, glad you're here.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio, we have the dynamic duo of Stephen and Kay on the line. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
Howdy. Good to hear you, Kay.
Howdy.
And right behind the dynamic duo is none other than Mr. Wayne Jett. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Hey, Hatter. I went to 1976.
Yeah.
You went to see that concert. 1976.
What's that? You saw him in 76?
I went to that concert in 1976.
Right on. Yeah, they were great in concert, man.
Yeah, they came out in 1976 along with Kansas and Boston and all. They came out in 1976. And Steve Miller, all of them had big hits in 76.
Saw him with Boston? Excellent.
No, Boston came out in 76. They came out. Kansas came out in 76 too. And Foreigner and Miller too. Miller came out with that Joker song in 76. Great year.
Yeah. Sorry,
Deb. All righty. Well, I, as we very, very often do, have Kay's poem on the board so that she can kick us off. And I have like 20-something poems tonight, so it's going to be another one of them nights where I'll comment, and then I'll have the next reader comment. And if the next poem needs a reader, I'll just have one of you amazing people that are in the studio with me comment and then put the next poem up. And I will try my best to fit all these poems in tonight. And with that said, Kay, show us what you brought, please.
I call us nature and the aesthetic weathering. Cool mint, cinnamon spice, thick breezes tickle through the hands on cobblestone walks, washed by nature. Holding herself, the empress of forest glades or the ocean tide of lagoons cloistered. Part of the shepherd's slate, barren veins cloak like countryside stones. The sandy beach sea air, sun drenches and blenched minutes on the bone. End poem.
Amazing visuals. I like the tasty start to this. Cool mint, cinnamon spice stick, breezes tickle through the hand on cobblestone. I bet you that smells so good. There's just something about the spicy scents that are riding the breeze there. I like in the next stanza, it says, holding herself, the empress of forest glades or the ocean tides of lagoons cloistered. I love that, the empress of forest glades. What a beautiful title. And it fits perfectly with the art. And, of course, when you get down to the last line and we have a sandy beach sea stir air sun drenches, there's nothing in the whole world like beach sea air. It's like a combination of crisp and clean and salty and briny. And it's just, and it, you know, for those who have seasonal allergies like hay fever, like I do, the only time I got any relief from it was when we went to the shore, because apparently there's not ragweed at the seashore. And I could breathe. So, like, yeah, the beach air means the world to me. And if you suffer from hay fever, try to get to the beach more often. At least you can breathe there. Hey, this is really awesome. I like the visuals. I like the tickle of the senses with the sights and scents, even sounds that you have. But, again, I have to emphasize how much I think Empress of Forest Glades is such a cool phrase there. I love that you call her that. Fantastic share.
Thank you.
And is your hubby with you?
I am here.
Well, hello, Stephen. Would you please comment on your wife's poem while I go and grab yours?
Yeah, I really like this too. You write gravity so well, and your metaphors and your imagery is just amazing. I think it fits perfectly to the painting, but it also makes me think somewhat of our walks by the lake too, especially with that lake breeze that can sometimes give you a little chill, like that mint, that cool mint kind of thing. So yeah, I think this is just great.
Thank you.
Okay, and did you want to tell us what's going on and maybe push your books before you read?
What's going on? Yeah. Thursday is Storyboards with Sky Darko. Oh, the things got mixed up here.
Oh.
Dungeons and Dragons, yes. Dungeons and Dragons, I don't know which volume is it.
Ranger?
Class Volume 6, The Ranger, yes. So right to the character of the Ranger, the class of the Ranger. There's information on the board if you need it, and there's links as well. You know how she likes to make you do homework. That's at 8 p.m. on Thursday, and that's the only show we've got going. As for books, I do have the final part, the third part of the Eerie Depths series was released actually yesterday, and that's called The Eerie Islands. I'm kind of sad that I'm done writing those because I actually had a lot of fun writing them. And so there's three of those books, The Eerie Depths, The Eerie Ocean, and The Eerie Islands. And I also have a book of short stories out called What Lurks Behind the Eyelids, all under my real name, Michael Bushnell, and available at Amazon.com, Goodreads.com, and BarnesandNoble.com. How is that?
That is awesome. And congratulations on finishing your series. I can see how it's a mixture of excitement and a bit of sadness that it's done, but it's not really done. Now it's out there for the world to enjoy. So, again, congratulations, okay. Stephen. And you'll hear Psalm is on the board, so show us what you brought.
All right, yeah, this is written to that beautiful picture of the, it looks like the ocean, and this was also kind of mused off what I was writing at the time for the Erie Islands, so that's why I call it Erie Islands, Psalm 5. Off Kelly's Islands, Barnum's Point, in blue shallows where riptides disjoint, the brood with shark teeth lay asleep beneath their rusted shipwreck keep. End poem.
Oh my, to two use with this, these four-line brilliant poems here tonight. I like the blue shallows where riptides disjoint. What a amazing description. Where riptides disjoint. That's pretty wicked. And the brood with shark teeth lay asleep. That's got like kind of a creepiness to it, you know. All of a sudden, I have my mind on. I found a bunch of pictures today of people swimming and not realizing what's right underneath them. And of course, you know, a couple of them had to have a shark. But especially the advertisement for the Meg, the mouth opens so far, you don't even realize that you're dead center, and there ain't nowhere to go if he decides to close them teeth. And that's what I thought. With the shark teeth lay asleep, it's like. I'm also hearing the Jaws music, so it's like, oh, man. So I thought this was very clever, Stephen. Fantastic share. And let me see. I am going to see if Sweet can comment for Stephen.
I can comment for Stephen. And this is, again, scary, beautiful. I had that same image that you did with the shark's teeth, only because, oddly enough, I was watching a drone fly over surfers, and they had the great white underneath them, and they had no idea. Again, you're vivid and you're beautiful with your words, and you have the ability to kind of take us on a journey, even though I don't think you know, well, maybe you do know. You're taking us through that journey, and your verbiage is always outstanding. And as always, I can never say enough. I always feel like I repeat myself about your imagery and your verbiage. But so I'll say it again. Amazing imagery, amazing verbiage, and I just am such a fan of your writing.
Thank you, Sweet.
You're welcome.
Fantastic comment. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like I said, the Jaws theme is stuck in my head now. Here we go. I am opening the line for Mr. A.P. Taylor, who is about to go on a little adventure.
Hello.
I am grabbing that link. And Stephen and Kay, I know you might have to go, but you might want to stay for... Oh, you beat me to it. It's already on the board. You might want to stay for the rewrite of a popular song. It came out fantastic. AP, if you'd take us away.
Okay, well, let's give this a shot, Deb. Recovering from the flu still, so it's going to be a little bit creaky, but this is Blue Again, and it goes a little bit like this. Past yesterday's morning, the new rays they shone. Blues ran to golden pink in the wide of you. I searched out the dawning, and I found I belong. Somewhere between the skies and waters drew. I've been stars and I've been rain. Been funny grays that I thought would never bend. Seen only times when the storms, they do descend. And I always knew I'd be with Blue again. Don't look around upon the pleasers. The tones here fall in bands. Yellow, white, and aqua surround the bay. My form they're taking, and the sign is on hand. And those waves on me wave. I've been stars and I've been rain. In funny grace, thou talk would never bend. Seen only times when the storms they do descend. And I always knew that I'd be with blue one more time again. Then hawking my wines to an easy brine, my track burns towards the sun. Hard blows when the black wind grows, it'll churn your reds confound. Mother's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about stings or none. Sweet pea and hatter scenes, Deb's pieces all around. I've been stars and I've been rain. Been funny grays that I thought would never bend. Seen only times when the storms they do descend. And I always knew that I'd be with blue one more time again now. End quote.
Way cool.
Aww.
I know, right? Like I said, it's not an easy feat to carry the original tune or sounds all the way through, but you did. And then, of course, in the middle of all that, you also have a nod to Sweet and Hatter and myself in there, which is always cool. And then on top of it, to turn around and call and sing it for us, it's like, I had asked you earlier, or I had mentioned that I lost track of how many you've done. You didn't happen to go look, did you?
No, I haven't, Deb, but there'd be easily 25 or 30 of them, I guess. This one came out really nicely. I was really happy with this one.
Yeah, like I said, you carried the especially the ending sound, and then you threw in a couple little teeny bits of the original song to keep that familiarity in mind. Yet, to me, from the very first line, it was obvious what song you were rewriting, even if you hadn't written it beside your title. I think that it came out fantastic. And I am going to see if Stephen wanted to comment before they go.
Yeah, I thought that this was great. I thought that, well, not only did you, like Deb said, you held the song. It was perfectly written to the song, but it also had wonderful lyrics, I think, touched on life, friendship, and, of course, the team of voices. I thought that this was awesome, AP.
No, thank you, Stephen. Yes, thank you.
Fantastic. And I guess you are on your way up for your adventure now. So have an amazing time.
I'm going up to paint at a tiny house off in the middle of rocks. It has no, well, it's got solar power, but it's going to be fairly overcast tonight. But there's a set of terms and conditions. And I do love the wildlife bit, so I will quote it. You are on adventure. There are birds, kangaroos, and potentially snakes and spiders amongst other animal wildlife.
Yeah.
And don't leave any food lying around. There you go. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
It was fun, and I like how that little side note from Sweet came out there too. Another reason. There's a reason she won't visit that tiny house.
No.
Anyways, only small, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and there are apparently the odd snakes, but it's bloody cold. I don't think it'd be too many snakes. You have your own heating system. It's bloody cold. So cold and wet tonight. So I'm getting out the, torch and make sure I don't slip over.
Well, stay warm and away from the crawly things.
Thank you very much. I will.
Have a good time.
Have a good show. Thank you. Hey, okay, talk soon. Thank you.
See you, AP.
Okay, now, I wanted to, I know that Stephen K. and AP had to fly, so I wanted to let them do that. And then right now I would like to jump in on the four that were carried over. But let me ask real quick, does anybody need to go before the four are done from last week?
I've got like about 20 more minutes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to read Jenny's, and then I'll put yours on.
Okay.
That way at least I get one of them in there, since I already threw it up on the board.
That's fine.
Okay, and this is one of the whale ones, and I'll read for her. Dying Whale Song by Jenny the Deep. Here we go. Crying. Whales echoing, longing to be set free. Bellowing for blueberry seas. Unnoticeable tears escape and sink. Ripped away from their families. Swelling waves crash and sting as the whales keep crying. Riptides help poachers hide as humans lose their mind. Our indigo swirl ocean cries. Diminishing whale pods are on the rise. No longer singing, left to dry. On the shore with closed eyes, whales die in high riptides. End poem. You know, Jenny, I really like how you jumped on and did an advocacy poem, which I like to affectionately call a soapbox poem. And this really speaks of that video that I added in there, because that when I saw that, my first thought was, wow, that would break Sweet's heart. And then with her third anniversary coming up, I thought at the time, you know, it would have been a really great way to, you know, like sort of give a nod to my sweet pea by bringing attention to the whales. And the more of us who get appalled by how the creatures in the sea are treated, even if it's just one person that we stop from doing something, that would be a big deal. And this one grabs you by the gut, especially at the thought of those tears that are falling when all they want, you know, especially, you know, you go to SeaWorld and stuff like that, and they got them doing tricks, and, yeah, they feed them great food, and they treat them nice for the most part. You know, they would much rather be free and back to their pod and the rest of their family. So this is really gut-wrenching brevity, and it was my honor to read for her. And my sweet, why don't you go ahead and comment for Jenny, please?
I agree. I think this is amazing, and I want to thank her for being an advocate for these creatures. I can't, you know, for many animals that are kept captive, I can't imagine being, you know, just in those small arenas. And I know that there are zoos that are really working towards getting better habitats and things like that. Because, you know, whales and elephants and tigers are very important animals. And we are losing them at a high rate, as well as many others. And palm oil, don't buy palm oil. But that's my soapbox. And I thought this was so well done. Riptides help poachers hide, you know, and we've got to stop that. Poachers are hiding everywhere and so many things. And I think that, you know, you kind of got up on that soapbox in such a poetic, beautiful way that nobody noticed. And I love that. I love when poets can say things and people will listen and they don't even know they listened. So very, very well done.
Awesome comment. And did you want to do a shout out for your show before you read?
Shout out for my show. I would love to do a shout out for my show, except I have no idea what I am doing yet. So my show is on Thursday night. I am leaning very much towards open poetry on Thursday night. I have some special things going on with my fingers, so they're going to be possibly wrapping it this Wednesday. So we may be doing open poetry Thursday night. So let's go with that. Open poetry on Sweet Pea, Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. There we go.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, my dear, your poem is on the board, so show us what you got.
All right, I will show you what I've got. This is Lonely Blue by Sweet Pea. Sunlight heightens the colors of the morning for the exhausted, masquerading shades of green to carpets laid down in a forest of luxury, capturing butterfly flutters and slow-motion prison strings, trying to capture memories from false dreams left on the pavement of a forgotten playground. Pretentious pretenders parade in peacock colors, persecuting the blind, stealing the shine of diamonds as heaven watches wings burn in silence. Laughter was their guidance, and cruelty is a commanding master. Truth hides in the shadows, hiding on the lips of a martyr too afraid to matter. Pixie dust scatters into the winds of disaster, love unmastered. No side up or down, she is the world's clown, sliced in kaleidoscope rainbow triangles. Blurred perceptions seek pink and blue clouds, hiding hope as she hangs her head in shades of lonely blue. And poem.
Well, sweet. Pixie dust scatters into the winds of disaster, love unmastered. No side up or down, she is the world's clown, sliced in kaleidoscope, rainbow triangles. And I like the play on words there because, like, of course, the kaleidoscope is a group of butterflies. But the thought of kaleidoscope rainbow triangles is really, really cool. And the colors throughout, and even the some of the alliterations, pretentious pretenders parade in peacock colors, persecuting the blind. I mean, I think that this is stellar. Stealing the shine of diamonds as heaven watches wings burn in silence. There was such a mixture of beauty with your descriptions and your colors and sadness and the mix, the push and pull there of being tickled by the gorgeousness and then gut punched by the sadness is pretty heady. I think that you did a great job with this art. And again, pixie dust scatters into the winds of disaster, love unmastered. That line is one of them lines. It's like, wow, I have to sneeze.
Bless you. Preempted.
Sorry, I had to mute myself because I never sneezed less than three times, and that one was four. Jeez. I say pixie dust and then start sneezing. That was kind of weird. But no, I'm pretty enamored by that line. But right from the get-go, sunlight heightens the colors of the morning for the exhausted. So even in the just one line, you got the thought of the heightened colors, but then it's for the exhausted, and it sort of, it's like a push and pull is not the right word, but you know what I mean? Like one end of the spectrum to the other, the beauty and then the exhausted. But I think that you filled this with amazing color and emotion, like I had said. Beautiful share, my sweet. And Wayne,
you.
Can you comment for Sweet Pea?
Yes, I could. I said, this is a wonderful poem. It's so lovely, yet it's so sad. I feel like hanging my head in the shadows of lonely blue. So much emotion in this poem, it doesn't want to let go. And your alliteration starting sentence, it was great. I want to smile, but it wouldn't be right. And there are no broader perceptions in this great poem. In this great poem. Great job, sir. Sweet. Love it.
Thank you.
That is fantastic. And I'm sure that board will fill up because people love open poetry. So if I don't talk to you before then, I will see you at the open poetry show. Although, just so everybody knows, tomorrow night is Raconteur's show, and he goes live at 10 as well. And he's got a really cool quote. It's, "I became insane with long intervals of horrible sanity." And that's a quote by Edgar Allan Poe. So if anything just popped into your mind when you heard that quote, that is what Raconteur would like to hear on Tuesday night. And then, of course, we have Sweet on Thursday with some open poetry. And I do believe that we are off on Friday. And then on Saturday, the topic is anchors, wherever that takes you. And then that brings us all the way back to Monday. And the topic for Monday next week is cryptids, which are those unexplained things like Bigfoot and the Jersey Devil and the Chupacabra and all those myths that you've heard. I have a whole bunch of pictures of them on the board. Whichever one speaks to you or scares the heck out of you, jump on it and you can bring us a poem on cryptids. And you are up to date. And I have Mr. Wayne Gents. Wayne, I have your recording from Wales. Cool. Well, that's what we're going to do next. So if you guys would click on Wayne's whale poem, I will push his recording. And here we go.
Music of the Sea, written and read by Gerald.
What's up, man?
Well, wrong whales. Here's the right whales.
This is called A Whale of a Story. It was early morning when we decided to sail. Everything was quiet. Nothing strange to tell. Most of the first day, things went well. On the way to shore came a weather sail. As the day grew dark, the captain rang the alarm bell. It started getting rough when the darkness fell. Rain was falling, waves crashing, it seemed like hell. Then out of nowhere, up came a giant white whale. Lightning through the sky with a thunderous noise. We were yearning to see the coves, bouncy buoys. The whale would dive down into the deep and disappear. Storm was the biggest they could remember this year. Whale looked toward us, as if knowing our plight. To beat the storm, we knew we had to fight. Off in the distance, something caught my sight. Was the old dependable lighthouse light. A peg-legged man had to climb 20 steps or more. Staying afloat turned out to be quite the chore. Wind and waves made a thunderstorm. The giant white whale led us safely to shore. And
was it just me, or was there some whale cries in the background at the beginning? I was like, wow. Whether they were there or not, it's how I heard it, and what a way to add power to the poem. It was early morning when we decided to sail. Everything was quiet, nothing strange to tell. Most of the first day, things went well. On the way to the shore came a weather sail, and you could almost picture, you can you get a glimpse of the sky darkening and stuff like that. It's just like, my, oh my. And out of nowhere came a giant white whale. Towards the end, whale looked towards us as if knowing our plight to beat the storm. We knew we had to fight, and off in the distance, something caught my sight. It was old, dependable lighthouse light. I like how you captured all the nuances of the art and brought them into the poem. And I like at the end there, a peg-legged man had to climb 20 steps or more. And the ending two lines, winds and waves made a tremendous roar. The giant white whale led us safely to shore. And I love that. I love that you made the whale the hero of the story, that he safely led the sailors back to the port between the lighthouse and the whale as a guide. The happy ending tickled my fancy. I think you did an excellent job with this art.
The little pig-legged man on the walkway there, I had to put him in there somewhere or another. He's in the picture, and he's got all of them steps. I had to put him in there somewhere or another, so I did.
Yeah, no, you did it great. And like I said, I can't say enough about the fact that you gave it that happy ending there and made the whale the hero. That's fabulous. And I'm going to do Gerald's recording next. So, Sweet, will you comment for Wayne, since Gerald is not here to comment?
Absolutely. I thought it was great. I thought it was like a reverse fairy tale of Moby Dick. I loved your voice in it. I thought you just held that great, solid voice and the background music. And I thought it was whales singing, too. So it was just all the way through it, just a fabulous, you know, shit of your pants story. And, you know, is the whale good? Is what's going to happen? You know, are they going to get swallowed by the whale? But no, you just hung it all the way through, and great characterization. And I love just like that, the ending. It was really, really superb story.
Thank you, Sweet. Appreciate the comment.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. And Sweet, I will see you either tomorrow at RAX or Thursday. And
I just sent you a message, too.
Yes. Okay. That would be awesome, because there are quite a few of those. Right, let me see here.
We'll see.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put okay, I have another one, the blue one for Jenny, and I'm going to put that one on the board. If you would be her reader this time, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
There you go. And thank you.
Are you going to play Gerald first, or are you going to put her up first?
Well, I'm not sure how much longer you have, so I want to take advantage of your voice while I can. I figured I'd get you to
read,
and then I'll do Gerald, which is another whale one. And
okay,
then,
that's fine. I'll be here till 9, so if you want to put a few in that I can help you read out, that'd be great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Not a problem. Velvet Words Flooded by Tears by Jenny the Deep. Flooding out from under the door, rivers of tears flow to the shore, where they drown in a man-made lake, leaving me alone as I break. Teal shadows continue to grow, making me forget all I know. Fading memories begin to rust as my heart begins to lose trust. Once upon a time, you were mine, a dimming star that I make shine. Treated you above all the rest, yet you made me feel second best. You flew away like early birds after reeling me in with words, being not my idea of fun. With you and velvet talk, I am done. This poem.
Wow. I velvet words flooded by tears sets such a sadness for such a beautiful piece of art. And then I follow along. Teal shadows continue to grow, making me forget all I know. Stained memories begin to rust as my heart begins to lose trust. Again, with such a sense of sadness. And then we go into Once Upon a Time, You Were Mine, a dimming star that I made shine. Wow. And at the end, you flew away like early birds after reeling me in with words. The sense, her sense of loss and heartbreak is showing through the lines. And then it makes me re-look at the picture where she's just there alone. And it's in that beautiful setting, but she's just so so lost in the sadness that she's, quote, flooded by tears. So I thought that was rather clever. I think she did a really great job with the art. And it was a beautiful read. Sweet, thank you. Hatter, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I like the, it's tough to keep the cadence right with an AABB type. It's really, you really got to, so nobody, nothing trips, it's got to count right. She does a good job.
Great
throughout
comment.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I am going to grab Gerald's whale poem and that on the board, and then after that the last whale poem is Hatter's from last week. So here comes Gerald's link, and I am going to push play.
Music of the Sea, written and read by Gerald Green. In summer's peak, I'm saturated with the colors of desire, hues that speak in moods that rise and fall like waves I cannot quell. It's only when I stop and pay attention to what speaks, what inundates and overcomes, that I begin to hear. It's life that overwhelms, life that seems so simple, fragile blades and sturdy stalks. From mite to whale, I fail to comprehend the symphony of size and purpose, filling voids I didn't know were there, spreading life like butter on a large croissant. The behemoth glides through the ocean's span without a care or threat, with family or perhaps alone. Each day remains unchanged. No sentience is present in a brain I fail to understand, a patience there for me to contemplate, that somehow lowers my anxiety. I marvel at her size and confidence, covet peace that moves beyond my reach, to places far and wide where instinct navigates. The curious spend money just to see, but do they grasp the hidden meaning, hear the message nature sends to harmonize the music of the sea? End poem.
Music of the Sea. I love the title. In summer's peak, I'm saturated with the colors of desire, hues that speak in moods that rise and fall like waves I cannot quell. I for some reason, that one screams at me. I really, really like that opening stanza. From mite to whale, I fail to comprehend the symphony of size and purpose, filling voids I didn't know were there, spreading like butter on a large croissant. I liked that I guess it was a playfulness to bring in the butter on the large croissant. Where was the other? The second to the last, I marvel at her size and confidence, covet peace that moves beyond my reach to places far and wide where instinct navigates. I felt such a sense of admiration and respect for the whale in that stanza. The curious spend money just to see, but do not grasp the hidden meaning. Hear the message nature sends to harmonize the music of the sea. And it's true. You know, you get those, well, quite often it's over, like, off of Alaska and stuff like that, but you pay for those cruises to go whale spotting, and, you know, there is an awe. You see them, and it's like, oh, well. But you sometimes people don't remember or stop to think about the bravery of that whale to jump up and do that little show for you, because they know we've done them harm. They're extremely smart, and rather than just fearing us and becoming these things that we never get to see because they're too afraid to break the face of the ocean, they're jumping for you and splashing and giving you awe and joy. And I just, like I said, I feel like there was a tremendous amount of respect paid to whales in this one. Fantastic, Gerald. And Hatter, I'm going to have you read your whale one for Sweet too, so why don't you comment for Gerald?
Yeah, beautiful. I'm assuming, is that a gray whale? Would that be considered a gray whale?
I need your phone. Why?
What did you say?
Because I need a code.
You want phone?
Very good. The behemoth glides the ocean span without a care or threat. Its family, or perhaps alone, each day remains unchanged. It's a ode to the whale. I mean, it was very good. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah,
the music of the sea. Nothing's more musical than whale songs, right?
Yeah, it is an incredible thing to hear them in song, and you can definitely tell the difference when they are just communicating or singing to one another versus their cry or their sadness, say if they can't find someone from their pod or their beat. So yeah, it's an incredible thing.
I already did the dates, Dave. This is a holdover.
You did it when?
No, I didn't. I'm mistaken.
Oh, okay.
This is my whale.
Yeah, it's not a whale? Is that what
you
said?
Yeah, it
is. Oh, okay. I was going to say,
you put
it on
the board. No, it is.
Okay.
I was confused.
That's all right. Well, this is the last one.
Seymour.
Yeah, please.
Yes, Seymour, and Dave the Whale. Stories are told from memories past the spotted of whales from the top of a mast. Seymour's seagulls watching the flock decided he would fish from top of the dock. Looking for bait, he thought a mistake. He did not like getting wet. He'll wait for the fin before jumping in. He said, I'll make you a bet. I will return with the trophy. You'll know what I mean. I will catch the biggest thing you've ever seen. He watched from the dock as the others dove in, fishing for bait as dinner begins. Seymour counted how many times, diving for dinner at least 8 or 9 times. Seymour thought large, so he fished from the barge, miles from the nearest shore. What he had planned was to make it to land with dinner and the biggest score. It was then he spotted a fin on the wave, heading for Seymour and a whale named Dave. Diving down as Dave arose, Seymour caught him by the nose. With all the beam, he flapped his wings. Within his catch, he started to sing, I'm a lion today preying on prey, doing the seagulls do. I caught this whale, so all can tell I'm better fisher than you. Interesting.
I like the name, Seymour. And Dave the Whale. Now, why did I already silly fun here, LOL? Because it wasn't on the show. Anyway, he watched from the dock as the others dove in, fishing for bait as dinner begins. Seymour counted how many times diving for dinner, at least 8 or 9 times. There was a playfulness in it. Diving down as Dave arose, Seymour caught him by the nose. I mean, it was very playful. And then the last one, I'm a lion today, preying on prey, do what seagulls do. I caught this whale, so all can tell I'm a better fisherman than you. I kind of felt like there was a unspoken na-na-na-na there at the end. So I thought this came out cool, Heather.
Yeah, it was based on that cartoon. Remember the cartoon of the vultures? Mama's like a Russian vulture, and the shy vulture. Bringing home the baby bumblebee.
Okay. Now that I remember, I wasn't sure at all what you were talking about until you just did that. Yeah. Now I can picture what you were saying. Very cool.
Yeah.
And let's say hi to Sky, Sky, Sky. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
Yeah, I said another entertaining poem is told as only the header could tell it. I'm working on his header test out of an internal rhyme scheme. I love the way it reads, and there's something magical about it with rhythm. It's just a great way to write poetry. This poem is at the top of the rights. He writes to me, Heather, and it's just fitting with this great storyline, which is perfect. Great job. I love it.
Awesome comment. And let me see. I am grabbing the one, another first sweet.
A whale named Dave. Comment. Almost a one-horned goat named Joe. Well, named Dave.
Okay, sweet. I'm going to have you read for Angel. And I'm glad I was able to get in all the whale ones before you had to go. So as soon as you see that, read for me, please.
Okay, definitely will. All right. Well, then I got to refresh, I guess. Okay. Entirely enamored of you, my heavenly angel. Your love, the sea breeze soft and warm, brushing my cheek in feathery strokes. I feel you all around me, your heart breathing life into my lifeless soul, giving hope to my aching heart. Every kiss is a cursive line. Every touch is a redefining phrase. I feel held, appreciated, as though coming inside from my skin, washing me down with this thing that happens to travel to my chest. It's like I can literally feel life and love in my inner vein. Nothing prepared me for what the privilege of being yours would do. Taking magical, first time we met, my life was only half complete, and you made it whole. You are the sigh that escapes my lips, the very essence of my soul, my first and last thoughts throughout my day. I've waited 100 years, but I'd wait 1,000,000 more for you. You are what I've been living for. I am enamored of you. End poem.
And there is that romance that we have affectionately called her trademark. And also, as usual, there are a couple awards for this poem already. I guess I could really pick anyone, but there's something about the third stanza. I feel held, appreciated, as though coming inside from my skin, washing me down with the things that happens to travel to my chest. It's like I can literally feel life and love in my inner rein. But there's to feel held and appreciated. There's a lot to be said no matter what's going on, or whether it's love, friendship, family. Being appreciated is a big deal, because there's nothing like doing stuff for people that either take it for granted, don't notice at all, or just, you know, could take it or leave it, that, you know what I mean? So that, feeling appreciated is a really big deal. And I think that's the part that stood out the most for me. And towards the end, I've waited 100 years, but I'd wait 1,000,000 more for you. You're what I've been living for. I am enamored. And that's one of my favorite words, enamored. So I think this is beautifully romantic, and I say congratulations on those awards. And sweet, you did a beautiful read for her. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I was going to get Sky to comment, and then I'm going to grab her poem, please.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful, and I like how she speaks of a couple, you know, she touches on a couple things here. She touches on, you know, the beauty with the caressing of the cheek and the instances, but also the part that struck me, I think, the most was that nothing prepared me for the privilege of being yours with you. You know, kind of being taken unawares, and sometimes, if we're lucky, people do take us unawares in many different relationships and circumstances. And I think when you are taken awares or taken aback from somebody, I mean, it's a beautiful thing to kind of just say, to know that you're worth something, to know that in their eyes you're worth something, that, you know, you're respected and admired, and it's a beautiful feeling. And she definitely put that here. Really well done.
Don't sign into windows. Don't do that.
Great. What the heck? Great comment. Thank
this
you
is
so
a problem.
Much.
Don't do this.
Let me. There we
That's
go.
Not me.
No, it's...
Okay. Deb, this is an IOU.
Woohoo, okay, I'm ready.
So I do have, I love that blue one. I saved it, I have it. Today got away from me. It was the first day the kids were back at school and just really got away from me. But I haven't read through this yet. So this is Back from Infinite Destruction Show. It's such darkness would indeed devour the night. And of course, that is a quote from Infinite Destruction. And the picture was just so cool. And this is called She Had Persephone's Flowers in Her Hair by Sky Darko. I seek those timid drifts, agile in their wake, but muffled in her branches were undulate. A penumbra of quivering stalks that elude in rapidity, the fast, sprightly tempest of charm that begins to planch and snap as I grasp her solidity. And unlike a conclave of wraiths, her palate tastes so sweet, its validity half aware and half asleep. End quote.
Wow. I like where you took this picture. And I don't know why I'm so taken by, and unlike a conclave of wraiths, her palate tastes so sweet. I found myself grinning there just a little bit because Sweet had already said that she had to go at the top of the hour. But we all know that when we have a poem and the word sweet is in it anywhere, that the poem is about her. So it just struck me a little bit funny that she didn't get to hear a poem about herself. But from the very beginning, I seek those timid drifts, agile in their wake, but muffled in her branches, words undulate. I like that. There's something about that. Like she has blood tears on her face, and quivering stalks that elude, that the thought of anything eluding is usually a very sad thing. So it, to me, the thought of being eluded possibly made her cry. But back again, and unlike a conclave of wraiths, her palate tastes so sweet. Its validity half aware and half asleep. There's a lot to be said in the closing couplet there, half aware and half asleep. It's like not quite sleepwalking, but not quite awake and part of the world around you. You're in like almost a limbo, half and half. So I thought this was really powerful, Sky. And what I was looking to see if you had the word count, because it's not very many words, but packed a punch. I think this came out great.
Thank you very much. And she reminded me of a siren kind of luring you in, but with that darkness from destruction's quote. So.
Way cool. And Wayne, you want to comment for Sky?
Yes, I can. This is a wonderful poem, great vocabulary. My words are undulating, making me feel a plethora of quivering stalks. I like it so much, I gasp for sanity. This is a very good poem. I like the whole lot, Sky, and great read. Loved it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Sky, you weren't here at the beginning, but I had 20-some poems, so we're just doing I comment and then one other comment. Now, I don't know how long you'll be able to stay, so I thought you might want to push any shows that are upcoming.
Oh, yes. I am going to leave after this. Thank you. I have Thursday night over at Storyboard. We are doing D&D. We're celebrating the class of the Ranger, which, by the way, is Stephen's Argo story class. There's some stuff on it. 8 o'clock, come over and hang out and talk D&D. And that's it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
All righty. And I'm going to grab, let's see, what do we have? Okay. We have 50 minutes left, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, we're doing great. We have 8 poems left. So let me start with Wayne. Are you here till the end, or do you need your other one put on right now?
I'll stay to the end. I can hear it anytime you'll play it.
Okay. All right. Let me see here. And I've got... got your blue one, and I've got Hatter's blue one. Okay, let me put up Tony's poem, Titus Llewellyn, and we can listen to his recording as soon as I find it. Okay, here it is. There's the chat wall. All righty, so you guys go ahead and click on that, and I will push play.
Earth angel, Faye Davenport, angel of touching moments, de memento. Forever and a day, love and the obligatory aspects surround you, hereof admired are in proportion to touching moments. You'd think it a siesta, yes. The first and last to be remembered, she'll say no distance to carry every touching moment you've ever felt. Love will give the utmost care. Divinely aware are we to engage ourselves. Eagerly a love it has pursued avenues, partake in finding love's whereabouts. For this we all do share, vaguely a description of what remains there is a bereft. Not a goodbye even, to create the slightest emotion. She'll be put on the crest of a wave naturally transient. A time from your past that love be kept as a beacon, private thoughts do pinnacle the fabric, if were it not of nature, a catnap of which your peace of mind is more important, to have you gaze unto rectifying that crystal ball, which proves to ease the distance near, afar. Time was meant to feel in ways touching moments these to be content. Affairs of the heart have kept provision, for love has become a panacea. Now and forever, peace of mind will have you find comfort in the main, gifting you with visions never seen before, like angels in their making. Erstwhile this water feature you, having helped us shape the distance, let it be once in a blue moon, if what we are to believe in you will feel. Orbits are we to confine all souls, rightly due she holds as a memento. For old time's sake, a literati theme will seek to culminate soundproof. Tail lamps exist, I do profess. The true blue spirit of the forget-me-nots offers a never-ending love, give and take. You, your mother, hitherto, until that point in time. So blue the earth, it seems, oh, how sacrable, catches hold of a breath, the sweetest whispers on earth are axiomatic. Heightened heirlooms do exist, close to one another this you'll cherish ideally. A mother and her daughter are thought more of than the alibi, nuzzled into the neck of another's orbit. As stars whose own position, given the purity of heart, keeps her hopes alive, the love it will bring. May the blessed inks discover true depths of meaning, albeit as calm oceans have stirred a message from deep sleep to that grand scenario, mutterings are found. Drawn from within the upper reaches, dualism each denotes either way that mind and body are distinct and separate. Nascent theories baptize as vortex. Two adjoining spirals now remain touching, as would a mother to a daughter, two stars to interpret.
Wow. You know, there's so many emotional pieces in this. I think I'm definitely taken, I guess it's quite a ways down. The stanza starts, tail lamps exist, I do profess. The true blue spirit of the forget-me-not offers a never-ending love. Give and take, you, your mother. There's just something about that forget-me-not and never-ending love. And I think I'll now go backwards a little bit. In the second stanza, divinely aware are we to engage ourselves eagerly, a love it has pursued avenues, partake in finding love's whereabouts. For this, we all do share vaguely description of what remains. There is bereft, not a goodbye, even to create the slightest emotion. She'll be back. Put on the crest of a wave. She'll be back. It's like sometimes you just, no matter how short or how long a period of time they'll be gone, you just can't bear the thought of them going. So that little, those two, what, three little words, but she'll be put on the love kept, she'll be put on the crest of a wave, naturally transient, a time from the past that love be kept as a beacon. And how beautiful is the thought of the love being kept as a beacon. There is gorgeousness and romance and love oozing all over the place in this. Rectifying that crystal ball which soothes to ease the distance near, afar. Time was meant to feel in ways touching moments these to be content. And there's just, to me, it speaks of the love, no matter how far apart you are, or whether you're in the same room or across on another continent or away for a short time or a long time, it's just the overwhelming love is there to hold you over. Erstwhile, the water features you, having helpful us shape the distance. Let it be once in a blue moon. If we are to believe in you, we'll feel. And I think that for some reason I was just reading today about the blue moon that'll be here on the 30th. As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be visible from the East Coast at 9:36 that night. And although it doesn't shine blue, they say it shines looking closer and brighter than most days. And usually when someone speaks of a blue moon, it's like, oh, yeah, well, once every blue moon he might call, and tend to use it in like a negative way. But I didn't feel it as negative here. But between the tempo and the sounds in the background, there was just so much emotion shining through this. And I think it's, yeah, the last stanza, may the blessed ink the meaning, albeit as calm oceans have stirred a message from deep asleep. Stirred a message from deep asleep. For me, it's like that person, that blessing, that love, that feeling is there, whether asleep or awake, no matter when. Just so many gorgeous parts throughout this. And it totally brought life to the beautiful painting that he chose as his prompt. And on top of all that, this is another installment for his Earth Angels collection, which is now up to 139. It blows my mind every time he does one of these that he has given this honor to so many of the poets on the site. And I know I've said it before, but I often wonder if each of those people realize the kind of work it takes to put one of these out and feel as blown away as I did with the ones he's done for me. It's just such a gift, such a beautiful gift. Priceless, one of a kind, can't be bought type of gift, you know. Beautiful work, Titus. And Wayne, can you comment for Titus, please?
Yes, I'll try. I said, this is beautiful. The admiration and belief the reader has for the person talking about is amazing. This must be a mother's love or a mother's hope in her child. It has 101% faith in the greatness of this person, and will be that the person we discover for none is greater. What a great way to speak proud of someone. This says it all. He said, we will have you find comfort in the main, gifting you with visions never seen before, like angels in the making. You can't get no better than that. You know, visions never seen before and angels in the making. That's a great, great way to say it. You did a great job of this. I love it.
Awesome comment. Yeah, I'm just, like I said, 139. It's just mind-blowing. Okay. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Let me see. All right. I'm going to grab LG Mace and read for her as soon as I find the... Here's the board. Okay. Go, and now I gotta find a chat wall to put it there. Okay, here we go. And you guys go ahead and click on there, and I'll read for her. This is called The Blue Jay by LG Mace. And here we go. The blue jay, winter's feathered friend, nestled on branches a spray of white snow, on its head waiting for the cold to end. Symbol of protection and the will to be free. When I see a blue jay among the evergreen pines, it gives me a sense of serenity. Crested Hermes flies on the run. Find a warm place to nestle under the Virginia sun. And when those clouds gather and you know you're in for snow, do you ever ask yourself where those blue jays roost, where they even go? Friend to backyard bird feeders full of nurturing mixed seeds. When the blue jays hungers, God fulfills his every need. Blue jay color of cloudless Virginia winter sky. The sight of you inspires me as you spread your feathered wings and fly. End poem. You know, I like how she touched on whether or not we ever wonder where they go, like when it's about to snow or rain. And, I mean, you know they find shelter under a branch or inside of a bush or even in a building. But even at that, it's got to be so cold. And, you know, okay, people talk about how birds fly south, but they don't all. And how some of them manage to tough it out. Like here in New Jersey, we have so many drastic changes from one minute it's 90 degrees, and then the next minute you need your sweater or the sun's shining, and then it's snowing. And, I mean, so you just never know, and there's not a whole lot of warning. So if we get a freak snowstorm, they don't have much of a warning to go and try to fly off somewhere warmer. So it made me think of the birds that I see. And it actually reminds me of something that Hatter had said one time about people bringing in their feeders for, like, the hummingbirds and stuff in the winter. And as it turns out, it's the spring and summer where they find it easiest to find their own supplies and seeds and nectar. It's in the winter when they need a hand from humans the most, and we tend to bring in those feeders and stuff. So don't, you know, throw out some bird seeds when it's really cold. Or the feeders are a hard one because out here we get a lot of freezing temperatures, and then the nectar freezes and cracks open.
It does?
Yeah.
Deb, researched that a little further. Hummingbirds, in fact, don't struggle that much in the winter. I had heard one way when I went and researched it that they don't.
Oh, cool. Because I know that.
I know. I think so better.
Yeah, I bet. Because, like, I tend to toss the bread out or popcorn from the theater when they have extra and stuff like that. And I noticed that in the spring and summer, they don't come around as much. But in the winter, they line the trees that are between my house and the house next door and watch my kitchen window waiting for me to throw stuff out. And they bring other birds back with them. So each year I've been here 8 years, and each year more come. And I mean, I've got common barn sparrows, and I have blue jays and cardinals and woodpeckers and birds that I didn't know frequented New Jersey.
Yeah, yellow.
We have.
Wow.
Yeah, a whole bunch of those. It seems like I have 2 to 4 blue jays each year, depending on whether they come back. But the cardinals, the total number grows each year. And it's pretty cool to watch the males show off for the females. And I've even watched as some of the males would grab some, like a piece of popcorn, and fly over to where one of the females are sitting and literally feed her the piece of popcorn. And it's just like, you know, oh, the bird romance, you know. So I like how I like how she called attention to the birds anyway. Comment a little more while I grab another poem, Hatter.
Do what?
Comment on her poem while I grab another one.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, the blue jay. I saw the picture. I believe the one that she had chosen. I was wondering how somebody would write about it. Birds are. Who's this? Where they go? Yeah, where do they go? Like Deborah asked. especially above the snow line. It's always puzzled me because they must huddle together, or they don't all have, they all roost, but they don't all have a hole in the tree to climb into. So I wonder how they keep warm. The hummingbirds, yeah, in fact, they have a tougher time in the summer, is what I read. But this is very good. Insight of you inspires me as you spread your feathered wings to fly. Very poetic.
Awesome comment. Now, if you click on the link on the chat wall, we can hear Wayne's blue poem.
I put several shades of blue in this, so I hope you enjoy it.
No doubt I will, but here we go.
This is called She Left Me with the Blues. My heart sinks in the deep blue sadness. My emotions are drowning in madness. As I look up into the sad indigo sky, watching you float away, I wonder why. The violent disagreement wasn't to last. The dim days, I thought, were in the past. My berry isn't merry now that you've gone. You should know your glow is where I belong. Cobalt clouds cushion the emerald skies. Grape tears stream down from my eyes. Aquamarine dreams fade in navy sighs. Lavender words scream out iris goodbyes. My wine happiness is now a burgundy depression. My blueberry memory is now in regression. The only sound I hear is back alley blues as I lay in purple tears waiting for you. Ian?
Did pack it with gorgeous color, and the title "She Left Me with the Blues," and wow, my heart sinks in the deep blue sadness. My emotions are drowning in madness as I look up into the sad indigo sky, watching you float away. I wonder why. There, watching you go and leaving you wondering why was like heartbreaking. The violent disagreement wasn't to last. The denim days I thought were in the past. Down a little further, cobalt clouds cushion the emerald skies and grape tears stream down from my eyes. The This is another one, like I had said earlier with sweets, you packed it with all these beautiful colors, but then you used all the gorgeous colors to bring color to the emotion, to the sadness, to the pain, to the loss, and the contrast is really awesome. My wine happiness is now a burgundy depression. My blueberry memory is now in regression. The only sound I hear is back alley blues as I lay in purple tears waiting for you. You know, it sort of feels like it could be a bluesy country song. The only sound I hear is the black alley blues as I lay in purple tears waiting for you. I really love the opening or the closing lines there. Each stanza explains more and more your title, She Left Me with the Blues. It's like a full circle from the title down to those, to you laying in purple tears and waiting for you. And it's just so sad to think of you there crying, waiting, and the unspoken hoping. I think you did a great job with it. Absolutely fabulous, Wayne.
16 Shades of Blue.
Yeah. What do you think, Hatter? Are you muted?
Are you blue?
Hatter? That's weird. He's still here. Yeah, the call dropped. Maybe it's a problem with his phone. I think maybe he'll dial right back. Give him a second. But yeah, I can't. We're rolling along really well. I can't believe we packed so many poems into this show tonight.
Carry on.
It's nice to see everyone so inspired. There was like 20 some poems, and it's not easy to fit them in. All right, I'm not sure why he's not dialing back, so let me see here. I think what I will do is I will grab Gerald's record, or his poem, and we can listen to his recording and then see if Hatter calls back to read his poem. So let me grab that. Gerald, here we go. And I'll bring it over to the chat wall. And let me look in the studio real quick. Okay, he still hasn't called back. So let's have a listen to what Gerald brought, and we'll take it from there.
Breakfast at the BNB. Written and read by Gerald Green. I've never envied those with timid appetite. You know, those folks who eat a bite or two, who have no jowls or midriff bulge, and never sweat. She placed a tiny bowl of berries on the sideboard, a silent message, signaling all to take a few. But in my weakness, I confess that what I did was questionable at best. Moderation is distasteful, clogs the arteries of life, slows the progress of the genius, casts a shadow, dims what should be bright. Binging, on the other hand, brings to life mundane events, adds a zest with unexpected outcomes, inserts variety in ways that shakes society. I poured the berries on my cereal, poured them all, and watched them sink in the ocean of excess milk, settling on the bottom of my oversized bowl. Those luscious orbs of blue with sturdy skins and puckered tops wait to explode with flavor and a juice I can't describe. This would be the perfect beginning of another day to remember, a day of binge and satisfaction as soft berries burst with every chew. Let the timid reap the spillage. Watch them smile as if they won, while we who binge respond with gusto, laugh aloud at what we've done.
This one had a lighthearted feel to it. I liked breakfast at the B&B. I never envied those with timid appetite. You know, those folks who eat a bite or two, who have no jowls or midriff bulge and never sweat. I don't envy them either. She placed a tiny bowl of berries on the sideboard, a silent message signaling all to take a few. But in my weakness, I must confess that what I did was questionable at best. I was grinning while he was reading. Moderation is distasteful, clogs the arteries of life. I like to play on words there. I poured the berries on my cereal, poured them all, and watched them sink in an ocean of excess milk. I found myself laughing, like, you know, he's obviously not one of those ones who just takes a few bites and he's happy. He wants those blueberries in his cereal, and he's not apologizing for it. Bring them on. He wants them. And this would be perfect beginning of another day to remember, a day on binge and satisfaction of soft berry burst with every chew. Like, okay, whether they like it or not, whether it is what word did he use there? Whether it is questionable at best, he didn't care. He called his name, and they enhanced his cereal. And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And the lighthearted playfulness that came out of him and his voice and stuff was really cool, too. I had fun listening to this one. Thank you, Gerald. Really cool job. And did you get to hear any of that?
Yeah, some of it is very clever. Where was the one part? The luscious orbs of blue with dirty skin and puckered tops. You know, he's got a knack of, like you said, a little bit of humor in it, lightness. You know, the ocean of excess milk. Yeah, he wants his berries, huh? Blueberries. Very good.
Yeah, I like that. I just really love that. Apologetically questionable at best. That was really cool. Okay. Hatter, yours is on the board, if you would read for us.
Oh, okay. Okay. The passion of the blue flame tree. You really got to see that picture. Look like this. The tales of things that turns in blue, reflections of the dreams come true. With skies to guide before your eyes, it falls in flames of fire. To pick the flowers that give them power, it stains the heart's desire. Watch the colors for all to see, the passionate blue flame tree. Keep the red inside your head, the yellows bow and turn. The green, it seems, will only mean the blue will never burn. The trees of blue reign free for you. Choose the shade to see. Remember when the trees turn blue and when you once loved me. Blue who?
I like the end. The trees of blue reign free for you. Choose the shade to see. Remember when the trees turn blue and when you once loved me. There's of course, the cadence and all is there, but the sadness of remember when you once loved me, say, you know, indicating that she don't anymore or you don't anymore, is really sad. Back towards the beginning, though, the tales of things that turn in blue, reflections of a dream come true. And I, you know, it, like there's something in that tree and the sparkle and the thought of it, you would expect like a fairy tale-ish kind of thing. But instead, we have like pick the flower that gives them power. It stains the heart's desire. Keep the red inside your head. Especially remember when the trees turn blue and when you once loved me. That there's just powerful emotion that reads through it. Awesome brevity, Hatter.
Thank you, Deb.
What you think, Wayne?
That's what I'm talking about. Great internal rhyme that makes me want to sing and clap my hands. I hate about the girl gone, but the poem is worth 20 late night bitches. I love the style. Great job, and I think I'll dance now. Great job, Hatter.
Thanks, Wayne.
What a cool comment. Awesome. Okay, let me see, guys. We have I think all the ones that are left need readers. Yeah. We have three left. Wayne, do you think you feel like reading one?
No, I don't think so. I've been drinking quite a bit right now, and I don't think I better try that.
Okay, no problem. I'm going to grab this one. Since we just had a bit of sadness and heartbreak, let's see if we can get a giggle out of this one. Put on my announcer voice here. This is a special report by Lawrence 67. Special report. We interrupt your poetry contest for this important announcement. The terrible, notorious trio, Ringo, Butch, and Larry, labeled TNT, have struck again. Reports are coming in as we speak. They have been wreaking havoc everywhere they have seen. According to confirmed reports, they have been up to no good. One reliable witness reported that at 3 a.m. she heard what she thought was a herd of wild buffaloes. She immediately sought refuge under her bed until the buffalo had done their damage. When she emerged, obviously distraught, what she saw was incredible. Her curtains, couch, and love seat were torn to shambles. And in the kitchen, it looks like as if Category 4 tornado had gone through. The public is scared senseless. If you see the terrible, notorious trio, you are advised to call authorities. You are not to try and apprehend them. We repeat, do not try to stop them, as they will mesmerize you with their cuteness. That's how they get you. Pictured here doing their diabolical cuteness trick. Beware. We now return to your poetry contest and poem. And for those who can't see the poem, there's a picture of three perfectly adorable gray kitties in it. But they sure don't sound like they are too adorable when you think about the shredded curtains and the furniture. And I like how this read like a news report. We interrupt this program for, and you almost needed to hear that in the background. And I thought it was cool that they are labeled TNT and they have struck again. I thought that this was very playful and giggle worthy, and I think that it was a nice treat. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I said this is funny as hell. Those little felines should be changed, but they're surely a mess. Thank you for all the points, bulletin. Probably saved many lives. This is great. This is a great job you did, and I think it's wonderful. Good job.
Let's see here. Let me move this over because I have to comment on it and grab another poem. We have two more to go. Hatter, are you up for reading, or shall I read the last two?
No, you better. I got to take care of something real quick. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. The next one is by Lockdown Larks. And I'm looking. Okay, here's the chat wall. Okay, and this is Night Sky Blues by Lockdown Larks. Here we go. Shadows of the night giving me the blues. Can't see any light. Can't see through these dark hues. I got these night sky blues. They're coming after me. Can't shake off the night sky blues. They won't let me see. I am flying with the blues. They're going to take me down. Going to try, but likely lose. Look out for tears of this clown. I got these night sky blues. They're coming after me. Can't shake off the night sky blues. They won't let me see. Losing you, lonely nights. Who would want to choose? But shadows lord over the lights and darkness crowd the views. I got these night sky blues. They're coming after me. Can't shake off the night sky blues. They won't let me see. Okay, there's another one that reads like a bluesy country song there, especially when it's got the repeat. I got these night sky blues. They're coming after me. Can't shake off night sky blues. They won't let me see. I really, really like that. I think that, you know, actually, I think that if AP were able to stick around, I might have asked him to sing this one. It's got that lyrical vibe to it. Really cool share, Lockdown. I like it, and I see that it's an award winner, so congratulations on that, too. It was fun to read, in my honor. What do you think, Wayne?
I'm still in my quote. I said, the night sky blues are bad news. I don't want to catch that blue bug. It sounds like it's worse than COVID. He did a great job. They were repeating he did throughout the poem, and just kind of drove it home. But the night sky blues is bad news. But it's loved the poem a whole lot. Good rhythm to it and good flow. Good job, Eric.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And let me grab this. I can't believe we got through so many. I was thinking that I might have had to have some carryovers, so I am happy to say I won't. And the last poem of the night is written by none other than Pee Wee Cushion. So let me, okay, here's the chat wall. And let's see here. I just want to make sure that he didn't add a SoundCloud. I feel like I'm losing my voice, so sorry about that. Let me take a little sip here and then I'll read. Part in Blue, Pee Wee Cushion. Oh, darn. I see you now. I could have had you sing the last poem for me. All right. Hey.
Hi, how are you, Deb?
I'm all right. I was just saying, if you were here, I would have had you sing the last one. It was very blues country-ish.
Oh, was it?
But,
there you go. But I thought you might need some help for the last little bit, Deb. I've all packed up, ready to go, but I've 20 minutes or so I have had. So if you want me to stick around, I can do a bit of reading.
Well, I do have, I have the last poem on the board by Pee Wee, and I'm losing my voice, so
yeah.
I would love it if you would read that one.
This is Coming Apart in Blue by Pee Wee, and it goes a little bit like this. Indigo arias ring with morose melodies, enchanting through despair of lonesome fog, shedding mane, scratching fleas, disease, cloudy incorporeality in mucky Aegean bog. Glimmering ultraviolet waves of calamity, glitter-coated and shimmering cerulean skies, stolen breaths, asphyxiating deep blue sea, named yesterday, tomorrow's eyes don't rise. Epic spatial and anomalous contortion, peacock screams, barren as your dreams. Lovely melancholic temporal distortion as Father Time comes apart at the seams. In poem.
Awesome read, thank you. And I like the title, Coming Apart in Blue. Indigo arias ring with morose melodies, enchanting those despair of lonesome fog. That he wrote too, because there's something about that lonesome fog that grabbed me. Let me see here, Pee Wee, where is he? Here it is. Oh wow, yeah. There's a blue tint to almost every aspect of this, and he captured it quite well. I'm putting it on the board now so that you guys can see what I meant. But the blue captured everything from the walkway to the sky in the background, which really does look sort of like a fog. So the indigo areas is a beautiful description.
Mm.
Yeah, and lonesome fog, a despair of lonesome fog. And further in the middle, glitter-coated and shimmering cerulean skies, stolen breath, asphyxiating deep blue sea. It was really awesome wording, and it captured all the little aspects of the art that I just put on the chat wall. I think that he did a fantastic job with it. And I like the ending too. Lovely melancholic temporal distortion as Father Time comes apart at the seams. The ending there and the thought of Father Time coming apart at the seams it is very unexpected. And I like when that happens, when you get to the end and you get hit with something that you didn't see Father Time coming apart. So I thought that this was really cool, and I was waiting to see what came apart in blue, and it was Father Time. So I think he did a really clever job with it. And you can tell by my voice that I didn't want to have to read another one, so great rescue. What do you think of the poem?
No, that's okay, Jen. You know, my voice is nothing special today, but I think it's getting better than yours. It's a great image. I love the blues through the image that he chose, and the words actually did a great job of capturing that image. He's done really well.
Awesome comment. Yeah, totally agree. And I cannot believe that I managed to get all 22, I think it was, into the two.
Yeah, that's some. We were talking before about maybe needing to come across for the next show, Deb. So.
Yeah, I fully expected that there was going to be some, because I didn't think I would make it for a third hour. So I'm just and I mean, I had a few surprises too, because like Sky called and she brought one that was from another show that she surprises me sometimes, what she calls the IOUs. So there was even a couple more than I expected when I had spoke to you about possibly not fitting them in. So it was just worked out very, very well. and though I did already push all the shows that are coming up, I wanted to, push tomorrow night's show. It's with Raconteur at 10 Eastern. And the quote, I really like the Edgar Allan Poe quote that he chose as his prompt. I became insane with long intervals of horrible sanity. And that's the prompt for tomorrow night. So
very nice.
That should, should be some pretty clever poems for that. So I'm looking forward to it. And then, like I normally do at the end of my show, I am putting the link up to my show for next week, which is on cryptids. And you can thumb through there and take a look at some of the pictures. There's some pretty freaky critters that live in the horror stories and the tales carried on through generations, like the Jersey Devil and Bigfoot and the Yeti and even the Yowie.
Yes.
Funny, because one thing that every country on the globe has in common is that they have some type of story of some scary critter that people talk about. And it's just, it fascinates me. And I thought with the pictures, you could either go with something in reference to the actual critter, like, say, the Loch Ness Monster, or you can just go with the
yes.
beautiful scenery in the picture and write about that. So wherever, it's another one where I didn't pull any quotes or anything. It's just look at that picture and see where it takes you. And I did list what each one represented, like the Loveland frog man, so that if somebody wanted to research a little to continue the story, or the Michigan dog man, which is actually a werewolf. So there's really some cool choices. So I'm anxious to see what happens with those. And I don't usually push 2 weeks in a row, but I'm the show for 9/11 is for first responders, and there's some pretty powerful pictures there. And those are my next two Mondays. So I like to give extra time for anyone that wants to participate. There's the next two up on the board. And I guess right about now I will thank our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, as well as the board, which is A.P. and Hatters and Sweet Pea. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Jenny and Wayne and Gerald and Angel, LG Mace, Tony, Pee-wee, Lockdown Larks, Lawrence, and Sky. Appreciate you all very much, and I appreciate you calling to read that last one, AP, because I don't know if my voice would have lasted long enough. I've muted more times to try and clear my throat tonight than ever.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not coming down with something. Hatter, did you say something?
No. No, good job. Good job, though. Good show.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. And I guess since I did such a extensive write-up on the intro song, that it's a really good place to go back out with. And it was an obvious choice for a blue show. It's called Blue Morning, Blue Day by Foreigner. And appreciate you all. Love and respect. And have a fun time, AP.
Thanks, Deb. Have fun. Talk soon.
See you, AP.
Cheers.
Yay, we did it. Thanks, everyone.
Yay.
Thanks, Hatter. Night.
Yep.